You're listening to Back in the USSR.
Да здравствует 60-я годовщина Великой Октябрьской социалистической революции. Да здравствует героический советский народ и его доблестные вооруженные силы. Слава Коммунистической партии Советского Союза, руководящей и направляющей силе советского общества. Ура!
The owl cries as we're driving down the road, listening to the music on the all-night radio show. And the announcer comes on, says if you've got ideas, I'll file the patent for you. What's an idea that's not in the store? A buck or two. Oh, we drive to the town, but the shutters are down and the all-night restaurant's closed. It's the land of the free, they've got booze and TV. There's tramps in the telephone booth. But the stars in the trees and the early spring breeze to forget what assassins have done. Take our good soil in the palm of your hand, wait for tomorrow's sun. It's a long way from the heartland to Santiago Bay, where the good doctor lies with blood in his eyes and the bullets read USA. A truck driver's wife, she has a rough life. He spends his time down the road, carrying the goods, all the copper and wood. That's what makes America great. But the dollars like swallows, they fly to the south when they know they've got something to gain. Allende is killed and the trucks are soon rolling again. It's a long way from the heartland to Santiago Bay, where the good doctor lies with blood in his eyes and the bullets read USA. And the nighthawk flies and the owl cries as we're driving down the road. The full moon reveals all the houses and fields where good people do what they're told. Victor Jara, he lies with coins in his eyes. There's no one around him to mourn. Who needs a poet who won't take commands, would rather make love than war? It's a long way from the heartland to Santiago Bay, where the good doctor lies with blood in his eyes and the bullets read U.S. of A. The bullets read U.S. of A.
You're listening to Back in the USSR on 93.3 FM. 93.3 FM, I should say. I am Siegfried, and I am actually very, very tired right now. But I want to welcome you once again, brothers and sisters, on this late Monday evening. It's December now. 2019 is drawing to a close, and even though there's still a few weeks left to go, I want to pause and take stock of things tonight, because so much has changed for me over the past 2 months. I'm definitely not the same person that I was at the beginning of October. And as so often happens in life, you know, various events and people have combined to break me out of the kind of life I was accustomed to and close the door behind me so that there's no going back. That's really what's happened. It's a remarkable thing when that happens to you. And it almost always sets off a billion conflicting emotions circulating through your head as you try to make sense of a situation you're not used to and not yet fully comfortable with. But it's necessary. It's very necessary. You know, and I should say, of course, we began the show there with Christy Moore, Irish singer Christy Moore, with his song Allende, paying tribute to Salvador Allende of Chile. The socialist prime minister of Chile, who of course was like was killed in 1973 in a US-backed military coup. You know, a lot of changes have been happening for me, and of course I wonder if what I do is ever enough. If what I do is ever really good enough. I mean, Many of my friends and comrades were at the Ontario Federation of Labour, the OFL convention in Toronto last week, and, you know, marching on Queen's Park to challenge Doug Ford's reactionary agenda, while others were attending Guelph City Council meetings and challenging the council's atrocious policies with regard to homeless people in the city. Policies that will likely lead to people dying in the streets this winter. While all I did was knock off a second draft of a novel that may or may not ever see the light of day, while drawing up plans for radio shows barely anyone listens to. Like, is that good enough? I mean, you tell me. You know, I've been doing activism for years now, and I've seen many good movements, you know, good movements rise and fall. All the while trying to find my place, you know, my place in all this, you know, my role, the role in which I can do the most good in these critical times that we're going through. And it's not easy. It's not easy, but I try. You know, I always try. I always try. That's what I always do. And sometimes, you know, you mess up. You mess up big time sometimes. You know, it's just, it's part of the territory. You're going to mess up. But you have to try. So this is going to be more of a personal episode of the show here tonight, definitely more so than last week when I talked about the coup in Bolivia, and the week before that when I talked about Remembrance Day and the struggle for world peace. There's a lot I need to reflect on, brothers and sisters, so I hope you'll bear with me. But first I'd like to read you a quote. It's a quote that means a lot to me, and that I've spoken before on this show, but it's worth repeating. And it might sound a little strange, but it really is worth repeating and letting it sink in. There is a picture by Klee called Angelus Novus, the new angel. It shows an angel who seems about to move away from something he stares at. His eyes are wide. His mouth is open. His wings are spread. This is how the angel of history must look. His face is turned toward the past. Where a chain of events appears before us, he sees one single catastrophe, which keeps piling wreckage upon wreckage and hurls it at his feet. The angel would like to stay. Awaken the dead, and make whole what has been smashed. That's the quote. That was the Marxist writer Walter Benjamin. An excerpt from his Theses on History. And it's a passage that truly speaks to me. Because, at the risk of sounding completely ridiculous, I am the angel of history of which he speaks. Every day, I see the wreckage pile up around the world. The shattered lives, dreams, and whole societies and peoples being bulldozed and broken by the forces of global capitalism. I see these things. I read about them. I listen to them. I even have an opportunity to take action with regard to them sometimes. And on some level, they all become a part of me as I walk this bizarre path that I have chosen in life. Path of a madman who speaks to thin air from a radio studio, hoping against hope that someone, somewhere, is listening on the other end. Seems to be what I do week on and week out. To see what has happened in Bolivia in particular, where an indigenous-led socialist revolution is being torn apart by fascist death squads and military violence, struck me to the core. It struck me to the core. And I talked on that episode of the show about my experience of building solidarity for Bolivia back in 2010 when I helped organize that conference at the University of Guelph that I talked about, and also about how I traveled to Washington, D.C. in 2015 to stand in solidarity with the victims of Chevron in the Ecuadorian Amazon. You know, I've been doing this kind of work for a while, and the more you know, the more you experience, the more you fight, the more the dots connect, and the more the artificial dividing lines that we erect between past, present, and future fall away. And you realize that every struggle has a history. And to participate in it is to become part of that history yourself. And to understand why it is so vital for working class and oppressed people to emerge victorious in their struggles all over the world, and to unite their struggles into one worldwide struggle against the global capitalist order that continues to grind down people through exploitation and austerity and crush so many people through imperialism and colonialism. And we remember those who died struggling against capital or for trying to live in ways not determined by capital. You know, we struggle for justice for those killed in the corporate slaughterhouse, you know, so-called industrial accidents. We struggle for justice for the millions of people killed by imperialist wars, by ongoing colonial genocide, by the so-called normal exercises of the free market that condemn millions to starvation every single year. We struggle for justice for those who die in police custody, for those who fell in the struggle against fascism, and for the right to unionize, for the right to be a woman, the right to be queer, the right to be trans, and so on. They are all part of the same history, the same very bloody history, which animates popular struggles today. When people fight back against a system built on centuries of oppression and exploitation, it is a struggle for life itself. And the same is true when people stand up against sexism, homophobia, or transphobia. They're fighting for the right to live, the right to determine their own destinies, self-determination, life. I want to read another quote. This is from the final paragraph of The Song of Araran, a book written by the Korean revolutionary Kim San, who also went by the name Chang Chi-rak. He wrote this book in 1937 while he was fighting alongside the Chinese Red Army against the Japanese invasion of China. And he says, "Nearly all of the friends and comrades of my youth are dead. Hundreds of them. Nationalist, Christian, anarchist, terrorist, communist. But they are alive to me. Where their graves should be, no one ever cared. On the battlefields and execution grounds, on the streets of city and village, their warm revolutionary blood flowed proudly into the soil of Korea, Manchuria, Siberia, Japan, China. They failed in the immediate thing, but history keeps a fine accounting. A man's name and his brief dream may be buried with his bones, but nothing that he has ever done or failed to do is lost in the final balance of forces. That is his immortality, his glory or shame. Not even he himself can change this objective fact, for he is history. Nothing can rob a man of his place in the movement of history. Nothing can grant him escape. His only individual decision is whether to move forward or backward, whether to fight or submit, whether to create value or destroy it, whether to be strong or weak." Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR. Hey, we official, they're coming! Triple Sun, Green Sun's beamed! Silent attack! listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. That was Rage Against the Machine, War Within a Breath. Kim San, the author of the Song of Araran, fought for life, and he gave his life for his cause. The same reason why people are fighting in Bolivia and Chile right now. That's why people go out into the streets knowing that they'll face guns and tear gas from police and military prepared to kill, just as their indigenous ancestors faced down the conquistadors and their guns, germs, and steel, and have continued fighting for the right to live and determine their own fate for 500 years in Latin America. And that's why they remember the example of Tupac Katari and Salvador Allende, and why they still sing the songs of Victor Jara. The past always matters. It provides the history, the foundation on which modern struggles take place. I mean, one of the major factors in my own political radicalization, as well as that of my friend Patrick, who I just visited recently in Ottawa, was the centuries-long struggle of the Irish people for liberation. And both of us come from an Irish background, both of us. Both our families were driven from Ireland by genocidal British imperialism in the 19th century. Both our families were resettled in Canada as part of Britain's settler colonial genocide against Indigenous people here. And both of us refused to play a part in that settler colonial genocide any longer. Instead, drawing on our own history, the Irish tradition of anti-colonial struggle, to stand as allies alongside Indigenous people as they fight for their lives in this country. I mean, people resisting colonial oppression from Unistoten to Palestine know that they do not fight solely for the well-being of their future grandchildren, but also for the redemption of oppressed and exploited ancestors as well. They know that they are part of a tradition of struggle that links the past and the present and the future, and that this is a source of strength as they face their oppressors. You know, this is what Bobby Seale of the Black Panther Party meant when he said that we, quote, guide our feet by the lamps of the past. History is a driving force, informing people who they are and why they must fight back. And all the really strong and enduring working class struggles of the 20th and 21st centuries have likewise understood that they are a part of a tradition of proletarian resistance and struggle that transcends borders, spans the entire world, and forms an integral part of who we are. I mean, there's a reason why I sing the following song whenever I go to visit my friend Patrick up in Ottawa. And it comes from the fact that, in the end, both of us still have a piece of that Irish tradition of anti-colonial struggle in us. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
One even fair as the sun was shining. Spill the blood upon this holy ground, and you are welcome.
by my side you'll surely stand. Hear the people shout for freedom. We'll rise in the morning with the feeling band. Rise in the morning with the feeling band. There's a caravan beside the river. Just outside Kilkenny town, there I met this noble captain, men lay dead upon the ground. Then you are welcome, Highland Paddy. By my side you'll surely stand. Hear the people shout for freedom. We'll rise in the morning with the Fenian band. Rise in the morning with the Fenian band. There's a grave beside the river, a mile outside Kilkenny town. There we lay down all the captain, birds were silent when the Fenian died. All my life I will remember, I'll remember night and day, that once I rode into Kilkenny and I heard this noble captain say, then you are welcome, Highland Paddy. By my side you surely stand. Hear the people shout for freedom. We'll rise in the morning with the Fenian band. Rise in the morning with the Fenian band. Then you are welcome, Highland Paddy. By my side you surely stand.
Listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. That was the Wolf Tones with Highland Paddy. And some of you might remember that I sang a song. I sang Christy Moore's song Victor Jara in the last episode I did on the show. And I promised you all that I'd sing for you again. And I've chosen a much less well-known Irish rebel song, paying tribute to a man who, alongside Bobby Sands and eight others, died on hunger strike in Longcash prison in 1981, protesting against the British government's inhuman treatment of Irish prisoners of war during the Troubles. Ray McCreesh of South Armagh was one of those who gave his life for the liberation of his people, dying on May the 21st, 1981, after 61 days on hunger strike. And the song's for him. I remember from my boyhood, down in South Armagh, I'd lie beneath an evening sky and search for shooting stars. Often would I wonder what I would grow to be, but fate would choose a different course. My name is Ray McCreesh. What kind of a system would bring a people to their knees, try to break their spirits and rob their dignity? With injustice all around me, I knew that something must be done. While others learned indifference, I learned to hold a gun. Captured and imprisoned, thrown in an H-block cell, 4 years on the blanket protest, I served my time in hell. denied of any status. They called my cause a crime. So on a hunger strike I joined to prove their words were lies. As my time was fast approaching, the Lord took me by the hand. He said, once more I bear witness to man's inhumanity to man. Another martyr for old Ireland, another thorn in my crown. You've done your time upon the cross, my son, I'll help you down. If you're ever up in Camna, in my native South Armagh, and you gaze upon that evening sky and see a shooting star, just remember that this young boy used to dream his young boy dreams. Think of me when you whisper prayers. My name is Ray McCreesh. Think of me when you whisper prayers. My name is Ray McCreesh.
Doesn't seem quite so long ago, the last time that I saw you. Well, ain't it funny how the memories grow? It seems they always fold around you. They try to break you. Killed you in an age block cell and hope that all would turn away. Thought your spirit couldn't rise again, but you dared to prove them wrong, and in death you tore away the world hear freedom's song. But the heartache and pain linger on. They're still here, but so long since you've gone. But we're stronger now, you've showed us how freedom's fight can be won. I wish there was an easy road to choose, to bring the heartache to an end. But easy roads are always short. Time and time again. If you could stand by me like yesterday, I'd find strength to carry on. So let your spirit shine along the way, and our day will surely come. Yet the heartache and pain linger on. They're Sometimes fight can be won if we all stand as one.
Listening to Back in the USSR, you're on 93.3 FM CFRU. That was Kara McCann with Song from Marcella, which is a song in tribute to Bobby Sands. And of course, I sang My Name is Ray McCreesh. So two songs in tribute to the hunger strikers who died in 1981 in the north of Ireland. And you know what Che Guevara said remains true. Real revolutionaries are motivated by feelings of love, by great feelings of love. It was December 2nd. 1956, when Che and 81 other Cuban revolutionaries disembarked from the vessel Granma and began their struggle to overthrow the U.S.-backed dictator Fulgencio Batista. That was on this day. And this is how Che described the voyage on the Granma and the landing on Cuban soil on that day. Quote, "We reached solid ground, lost, stumbling along like so many shadows or ghosts marching in response to some obscure psychic impulse. We had been through 7 days of constant hunger and sickness during the sea crossing, topped by three still more terrible days on land, exactly 10 days after our departure from Mexico, during the early morning hours of December 5th, following a night-long march interrupted by fainting and frequent rest periods, we reached a spot paradoxically known as Alegría de Pío, rejoicing of the pious. Because when those," and he talks about three still more terrible days on land, right? Because after the landing, after the Granma landed on the beach in Cuba, the Fidel Castro and Che Guevara and their compañeros, they were bombarded by warplanes and attack helicopters. Only 20 of the original 82 men who landed on that beach made it to the mountains to carry on the fight. And no one would have expected, in their wildest imaginings at that time, that on January 1st, only a few years later, on January 1st, 1959, the Cuban Revolution, led by Fidel Castro, would triumph and light a flame that continues to burn to this day. And that's what this next song is about. Please stay tuned to Back in the USSR.
Fidel and Che Guevara lay in a ship at anchor in the harbor, waiting for the evening tide to rise and bring high water. It's bound for Cuba, she must go across the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean Ocean. She's carrying a human cargo, 83 good compañeros, each one burning with determination to be free against Batista, the Fidelista. Courage was their armor as they fought at Fidel's side with Che Guevara. 10 days out from Mexico, these compañeros landed on the Cuban beach, Los Colorados. Fidel said, "This year we'll see our country and our people free, or else we will be martyrs. We've only guns enough for 20, the enemy has arms aplenty. Meet him and defeat him, he'll keep us well supplied against Batista, the Fidelista." Courage was their armor as they fought at Fidel's side with Che Guevara. 5 weeks later in the Canyon del Rio. The Fidel's army had been reduced to 18 compañeros. Hungry, weak and unafraid, learning revolution's thread in the high Sierra Maestra, where the mountain winds did blow, bearing seeds to sprout and sow, crops in Cuban soil that marked the death of slavery. On compañeros to El Averro, courage was their armor as they fought at Fidel's side with Che Guevara. They fought their way across the peak of El Turquino, joined by bands of volunteers and the men from Santiago. They faced Batista's tanks and trains, drove them back down to the plains from the high Sierra Maestra. They drove the gangsters from Las Villas straight across the Cordilleras. Santa Barbara fell to Che Guevara and was free. On compañeros to El Averro, courage was their armor as they fought at Fidel's side with Che Guevara. The fire lit on that Cuban beach by Fidel Castro still shines all the way to Terra del Fuego. Sparks are blown upon the breeze, people rise from off their knees when they see the night is burning. It blazes up in Venezuela, Bolivia, Guatemala, lights the road that we must go in order to be free. On compañeros, Americanos, courage was their armor as they fought at Fidel's side with Che Guevara. Courage was their armor as they fought at Fidel's side with Che Guevara.
Listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU, that was Christy Moore with Compañeros, his tribute to Fidel Castro, Che Guevara, and the other brave men who made that initial landing on the Granma on December 2nd, 1956, and began the Cuban Revolution. But I want to talk about another revolutionary who really deserves way more credit than what she gets, and this occurred after the Nazis invaded the Soviet Union in June 1941. There was a very brave woman who showed her true colors. Nadia Popova. She was a female pilot in the Soviet Union. After an aggressive campaign to get the Soviet government to allow women to serve in the Red Air Force, became the commander of the 2nd Women's Regiment, a regiment which did not include a single male in its ranks. And Nadia Popova said, "The Germans knew all about us. They called us night witches. In fact, the Germans spread stories that we were given special injections and pills which gave us a feline's perfect vision at night. This was nonsense, of course. What we did have were clever, educated, very talented girls. All were volunteers." And using nothing more than old PO2 two-seater open cockpit biplanes made of plywood and canvas, the night witches, these women bomber pilots, would approach their targets at perilously low altitudes at night, sometimes passing through, quote, "a wall of enemy fire while the Germans tried to blind us with their searchlights." Pilots would sometimes fly between 15 and 18 sorties per night, sometimes cutting their engines and gliding silently over the trees to drop bombs on unsuspecting enemy encampments. And they took part in some of the thickest of fighting outside Moscow, in the Caucasus, in Crimea, and later on in Poland. "The Germans called us night witches," said Popova. Yes, we practiced our witchcraft almost from the first to the last days of the war.
We'll be right back.
Listening to Back in the USSR here on 93.3 FM CFRU. That was Power Symphony with Way of the Sword. And, you know, a more fitting tribute to the Night Witches, I can't imagine. Everyone, you know, I've said a lot of things on this particular episode of the show. But I'd like to end by just emphasizing that everyone has their particular part to play in the struggle for a livable world. You know, everybody has a particular part to play in the struggle, just as Bobby Sands used to say. So brothers and sisters, never stop caring, loving, fighting, even on those days when life feels like a mountain on your back. Some days living is the only victory that can be won. But we need you. We need you. The people need you. And just as we make our stand today, we must remember that we are part of history alongside all the generations before us. We struggled against all odds with all the fear and courage of ordinary humans whose names we shall never know, whose blood and tears we shall never see, whose cries of pain and hope we shall never hear. To them, we are linked by a past that is never dead, nor ever really past. And so when the best pages of history are finally written, it will not be by princes, presidents, prime ministers, or pundits, nor even by professors, but by the people themselves. For all their faults and shortcomings, the people are all we have. Indeed, we are they. Thank you, everyone. I'll see you all next week. Solidarity.
Never thought I had lost my friends. I'd roamed this world till my back was bent to find them all, searching high and low. You can never have enough friends, this much I know. If I ever thought I could not be true to me and do what I wanted to, at the same time I'd have to change my tune. Nothing better you can do to yourself, be true. But if I had a time machine, and if I could live in my dreams, life is our only time machine. It only goes one way, it seems. We learn how as we float down. If I ever thought I had hurt someone, I'd haul a stone that would weigh a ton, till I learned to make good or take it back. Even the strongest pair of hands cannot take it back. But if I had a time machine, and if I could live in my dreams, life is the only time machine, it only goes one.